Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It starts with a whistle and ends with a gun. 60 minutes of close in action from kickoff to touchdown. It's called Pro Football.
Touchdown, Kansas City! A remarkable acrobatic scramble. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
The men who play it are the best there are. Disciplined professionals who perform on a stage 100 yards long.
Watson survives it and then checks down to Jones. Jones inside the 40, inside the 30, inside the 20, to the 10-yard line. Tywan Jones, Deshaun Watson, magical, 34 yards.
The drama begins with a slap of leather in the song of men in motion.
Lamar Jackson, 10, 5, touchdown Ravens. Lamar Jackson with the spin, the sprint, and the score.
I mean, that's Michael Vick in 2004.
This is Pro Football, the sport of our time.
Third down and three. The Bengals at their own nine. They have three receivers in a tight cluster to the right, close to the right tackle. Single receiver out to the left, Drew Sample. Burrow back to throw from the two, loops it high downfield. Oh. Leaping attempt by Boyd, broken up by Fuller. And after gaining 7 yards on the first play, Joe Burrow is down.
Joe's hurt.
And he's grabbing his left knee, and he's in pain.
A call from the Bengals radio network, I'm sure, just echoed by Bengals fans everywhere. As we go around the NFL, all of our guests will join us on the Altamonte Nissan Hotline, Altamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. Three guests, three cities, three questions each, stories that interest us. James Rapine covers the Cincinnati Bengals for Sports Illustrated, kind enough to spend some time with us. James, Joe Burrow turned in what I called the best college season since Cam Newton. He was balling out in the NFL. Now he's torn his ACL, his MCL, his PCL, his meniscus. He could miss all of next season. We know what Bengals fans are feeling, but what about the mood around the organization right now?
Well, I think it's, you know, they're devastated. I mean, it's such a huge loss, and it changes a lot of what you had planned. You were hoping that this was a season that was going to kind of set the table for a potential playoff run in 2021. And that sounds silly now, but they have some winning games, some winnable games down the stretch, and suddenly those games aren't winnable. And to make matters worse, you're right, the uncertainty with Joe Burrow. Will he be ready for the start of the 2021 season? How is surgery going to go? Will he be able to rehab in time? It's just there's a lot up in the air now and a lot of question marks. Heck, how does this impact Zach Taylor's future with the franchise? So there's a lot there, and it's really unfortunate, obviously, any injury is. But specifically to Joe Burrow, how well he was playing, like you said, it's a huge, huge loss for this franchise.
Have you gone down the medical research rabbit hole yet to find a comp? Because Willis McGahee tore all three. I don't think Burrow tore the PCL. Teddy Bridgewater's was different as well. And we don't really know the details of the structural damage. So do we even have a model to go on at this point for Joe Burrow?
I don't necessarily have a comp. I have talked to a few doctors and said it's closer to the Carson Palmer injury in 2006 that he suffered against the Steelers 14 years ago. And he was back week one. He played in week three of the preseason and was able to get back. But it's more similar to that than, for example, the Carson Wentz ACL, MCL, and LCL a couple of years ago where he didn't make it back. After tearing that in, I think it was December 10th, he tore it, and he wasn't back until week two or week three the following season. So they're optimistic, the Bengals are, that he can return by the start of the year, but Zach Taylor didn't. He stopped short of saying that when it comes to expectations for 2021 because there's just so much up in the air. He hasn't had surgery yet, obviously, and that's obviously the next step, and then they'll go from there.
All right, last thing with James Rapine, who covers the Bengals, then we'll go to Philadelphia. So I love hypotheticals, James. So this is admittedly extremely unlikely. But if the Bengals lose out and the Jets figure out a way to win three games and the Jaguars figured out a way to win two games, the Bengals would once again have the number one pick in the draft. Is moving on from Joe Burrow in play for Trevor Lawrence, given the injury, if they had the chance?
For them, I would say no. If it was me, then, man, I hope there aren't many Bengals fans listening, because they'll crush me here. I would certainly consider it, because he's younger, obviously not coming off of an injury. All of the reasons why, you know, we could go on and on about how great Trevor Lawrence is as a prospect. So if that does happen, and it's, like you said, extremely unlikely because the Jets are never going to win, then, yeah, I think that they should certainly consider it. And that would be a blessing, right? Because worst case, you're getting a bunch of picks for the top pick. And in best case, maybe you walk into a younger, even better prospect than Joe Burrow. But like you said, I don't think that's going to happen.
Feel free to steal the hypothetical. You'll get all the clicks.
Oh, I've thought about that plenty. There's been multiple people that have talked about it recently, for sure.
Yeah, it's my guy Parkins. He likes to bury people when they get hurt. He likes to bury people as soon as they're hurt. That's how he rolls.
That's not what it is. Thank you, James.
Thanks, guys.
That's James Rapine. He covers the Bengals for Sports Illustrated. Let's go to Philly.
Wentz takes the snap. He fakes. He's back. He pumps. He swings it out. And it's intercepted! It's intercepted! And running down the far sideline and in for a touchdown is Taki Taki. That was a poor pass by Carson Wentz. He had Sanders in the flat, and he ballooned the ball, and Taki Taki cut it off and ran for a touchdown.
You know, I was just thinking, I like everything that I've seen Carson do to this point.
Eagles Radio Network. Let's go and talk to Joe Giglio. Philadelphia WIP is with us here on The Score. We've been using the Eagles as a litmus test for the Bears. They hired Doug Peterson off the Andy Reid tree. Carson Wentz, kind of unknown draft prospect like Mitch Trubisky. We've saw it had success in Philly, and now it's failing spectacularly. Eagles, one of the biggest disappointments in the NFL this year, Joe. I'm curious, how much of the struggles to Carson Wentz are attributed to the offensive line and wide receiver injuries, or just him maybe not being as good as they thought he was?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter, guys. Excuses are running out for Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. There was a stat that hit today that of the 40 sacks he's taken, 32 of them, he's held the ball for 4 seconds or longer. But this is a broken quarterback right now. I think he was an athlete playing quarterback a few years ago, and the athleticism after all these injuries is not quite there as much, and I think the league is caught up. It's a problem right now, especially because they're on the hook for over $100 million on a contract that really hasn't even kicked in yet.
You know, I saw that 41 pass plays were called in the game, and only one was a designed rollout. And Doug Peterson's been asked about rollouts before in weeks prior. So what's going on here? Is Peterson tweaking the system to fit a unathletic Carson Wentz, or at least an injured still Carson Wentz?
Yeah, it could be. It's interesting. He's asked about that almost every week. And in last year, you know, when he played well down the stretch, because the Eagles were 5-7 last year, it looked like it was going to be a bad season. And they won 4 straight games at the end of the year, all against NFC teams. They got in the playoffs, and people thought it could kind of springboard Wentz back to stardom. Obviously, hasn't happened. But in that 4-game stretch, a lot of rollouts, a lot of screen passes, kind of things that Carson Wentz was comfortable with, and he ran, and they did a good job with it. They haven't done as much this year with that stuff. And it's interesting because you look at the numbers, and outside the pocket this year is actually worse than inside the pocket. So I don't know why they're not doing it. The past, he's been good at it. Right now, I don't really think he's good at much at all, which is quite a problem for a play caller and a team that needs him.
No matter who the Bears put in at quarterback, Matt Nagy's system, oof, is ugly, but it's the same as Doug Peterson's. What are people saying? What are you seeing about Doug Peterson, the offensive coordinator and strategist this year, if anything?
Yeah, it looks like he's lost some of his mojo. I mean, he had it a couple years ago. I mean, amazing Super Bowl victory over Bill Belichick and the Patriots. He has lost it. He's not the same as he was. But, guys, we keep having this chicken or egg debate in Philadelphia because Doug Peterson, for all the people that have given up on him, I mean, he is 10-3 without Carson Wentz as a starter. you know, in their careers here. It's been 5 years now they're together. So there's that intrigue, especially, guys, the fact that they drafted a quarterback, Jalen Hurts, in the second round. So they keep saying they won't sit Carson down, but I just don't know how long they can play him if he continues to play like this.
Yeah, so I lied. I said it was going to be three. I'll squeeze in a fourth. You mentioned Jalen Hurts. How loud are the calls for him? Do you think we see him this year?
I think we are going to see him. I think the Eagles are going to avoid this or push this off as long as they possibly can because they're in a really difficult spot with Wentz. And, I think they're afraid that Jalen Hurts will move the football because then they have to make a significant decision, which is go back to Wentz without merit, and that could upset the whole locker room, or – you know, had the most expensive backup quarterback in NFL history. Carson Wentz's cap hit next year is $34 million. And it's basically an even hit if they trade him away. They still would owe him about $33 million to trade him. So this is why it's so difficult, because this isn't a clean break. This is like, uh-oh, we still have a year at least of this left. But I do think that at some point the calls will grow so loud, and maybe it'll happen in a game, maybe at halftime. I think at some point Wentz will sit, Hurts will come in. Will it last the whole year? Probably not, but I do think Jalen Hurts will play quarterback for the Eagles at some point this season.
Good stuff, Joe Giglio, WIP in Philly. Thank you, Joe. Let's go to Wisconsin.
Here's the snap and the placement. Swing to the right leg, and the kick is right down the boulevard. It is good, and the Indianapolis Colts in overtime have defeated the Green Bay Packers 34-31.
My guy, Wayne Larvey, on the Packers Radio Network. We bring in another one of our guys, Bart Winkler, from The Fan in Milwaukee. Bart, my God, that was such a complete and total team collapse by the Packers against the Colts. I don't even know how you break down the blame for that one. How did you assess blame after that collapse against the Colts?
The blame goes everywhere. You can go on some of the receivers. You can go on Rodgers. He had two turnovers himself. I think the defense gets a lot of the blame. Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, for not making adjustments and essentially letting another team run all over you, which has been a problem for the Packers. The game that you saw against Indianapolis, we've seen a version of that game every year for the last 10 years. That was almost a carbon copy of how this team loses playoff games, where Aaron Rodgers is a decent game, then the other team comes roaring back, there's a weird two-point conversion at some point for some reason, and then the other team wins, and sometimes it's an overtime. So what we saw from that game is sort of a predictive notion of what's going to come in the future. This Packers team is a good team, and there's a lot of teams at the top of the NFC that are good, but this Packers team, when they lose in the playoffs, barring that they don't make any adjustments, they're going to lose that way. They're going to lose where non-Devontae Adams wide receivers make mistakes, and they're going to lose where the defense can't stop anybody on third and short, third and long, third and 100, whatever. They just can't stop anybody. So that it was a very playoff-feeling-like game, because when they lose in the playoffs, it's going to be just like that.
And good thing, though, Jordan Love is on that bench, though. That's helpful this year as the Packers go for it, Bart. So what's the level of control that Aaron Rodgers has over this offense these days? Can he audible? Is it his? Has it merged with the head coach? And what's the relationship like, and what's his level of control?
First couple of weeks, we saw a brilliant merger. We saw Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers and checking out when his experience was needed. We saw Matt LaFleur's offense with levels and layers and all these new age things. You know, we saw that too. It was a perfect marriage. They lose a couple of these games. The most telling part of that game on Sunday was in the final 2 minutes. You know who's calling the plays in the final 2 minutes is completely Aaron Rodgers. LaFleur gives that to him. It's Aaron Rodgers' time. He calls the plays. He gets the team up to the line of scrimmage. He's calling everything. I think it was very interesting in the NFL this week. You had three of the top quarterbacks in three different games, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers, all presented with the same situation. 2 minutes to go, down three, one timeout. Brady throws the interception. Mahomes brilliantly leads his team down the field as if it's backyard football. And then Rodgers, the time management at the end of that game, they called the timeout too early. They were moseying up to the line. They were losing track of downs, by how many times he was spiking the football. The offense between LaFleur and Rodgers has been good, and I think it's everything that you could want with a guy with his experience and then a coach that's got a system unfamiliar to the quarterback's experience. So I think it's been very good. But in those last 2 minutes, I mean, you guys ask, who do you blame? Those last 2 minutes, a lot of that onus goes on Rodgers.
All right, so we're talking to Bart Winkler from The Fan in Milwaukee. Bears and Packers coming up on Sunday Night Football. We'll get his thoughts on that game in a minute. Spiegs made the joke about they drafted Jordan Love, and we've discussed it. I thought it was insane. But okay, they did it. Like, they traded up, and you're daring to be great at quarterback. You can kind of understand that. In the second round, they drafted that kid A.J. Dillon. They drafted a running back in the second round. And I watched the Packers. Aaron Jones has been hurt this year, and I see a lot of Jamal Williams when I'm tuning in for these games. So, like, you drafted a running back in the second round that can't get on the field even when the starter gets hurt? What the heck's going on there?
This is the worst draft any team's ever had. It made them worse for this year because all of the moves were for the future, and then you've got a backup quarterback who has not even been active. I mean, he can't even get kneel-down duty. The running back didn't make any sense, and then they didn't take a wide receiver in a year where all these rookie wide receivers were not only touted to be great, they are being great.
And yeah, so T. Higgins would look really, really, really,
Higgins,
really good
Michael
right now.
Pittman. I mean, Chase Claypool was still there. Even if you don't trade up for one of these guys were there. And Packer fans, you know, one thing that we do on the show every day, even if they win or lose, is we bring up the draft just because of how stupid it was, just because of how terrible this entire draft was, and I can't get over it. And they say, oh, well, Marquez Valdez-Scantling had 2 catches. You still need a receiver? Well, yeah. You drafted a quarterback for the future because Rodgers is still under contract. That didn't make sense. You drafted a running back for the future when you've got 2 guys in Williams and Jones that are starting caliber. Devontae Adams is a free agent after next year. People don't talk about that enough up here. He's gonna get paid a lot of money. So if you're going to draft for the future in all these other departments, why don't you at least draft for the future in one spot that could actually help you now? And the better that these guys do, the more ridiculous it is. And that's still what they need. What do the Packers need? Same thing they needed for 10 years. Run help and another receiver. And they didn't get any of them. And that's how they're losing games now.
Hey, Bart, you said that loss had the feeling of a Packers loss, very common one over the last decade. Then often what happens is here come the Bears. So for you to get fat and happy on again and Rodgers to be great against, would you expect anything less on Sunday night at Lambeau Field than Rodgers looking great and a Packers dominant win?
I do. I mean, just with flashbacks, I think of, because it's Thanksgiving weekend, so I think of Thanksgiving night a few years ago where the Bears came in and won the game. But from a realistic standpoint, I mean, I don't want to, like, I want this division to be good. You know, I want these matchups to mean something. I don't even know who's still starting for Chicago on Sunday at quarterback. And they brought up Lamar Miller. Like, I didn't know he was around still. So I want to, like, give the opponent credit, but I can't. You guys would obviously know better than me, but I don't see how the Bears come in here and win.
Yeah, no, we don't either. Focus on the problems okay. In your own house, though. You're an owner of the Packers. Fire someone. Hold the GM accountable. Let's go, Bart.
Hey, did you hear the big news? We have 500 fans in attendance Sunday night. 500 family members are going to be there. So,
how loud can they be?
Get excited.
Oh, Packer fans? Insanely, annoyingly loud. You know that.
Yeah, they'll be drunk. Bart Winkler, The Fan in Milwaukee, does a great job in the mornings. Thank you, sir.
Have a happy and blessed Thanksgiving, boys.
You as well, my friend. That's Bart Winkler from The Fan in Milwaukee. There we go. Cincy, Philly, and Milwaukee. What stood out to you, Speaks?
The Wentz thing is, whew, what a mess that is, because you've got the second-round quarterback, right? Second round for Hurts. I think it was.
Yeah, second round.
So you've got, but that the cap hit and what the number is going to be, and a lot of chicken and egg conversation, the similarity of that. You know, it's not, I mean, Wentz had success, but still the questions that the Philly media must be doing as they watch those football games, they're dancing around, does the quarterback suck or has the system been figured out? Those kind of things that we're trying to figure out. They don't know either. They don't know either, but they're pretty sure their quarterback is bad.
And it's so weird. Like it's easy for us to say because we're not watching every snap every game, but I wouldn't give up on him if it was me. Like, he was going to be the MVP of the league that Super Bowl season. Through 13 games, he was the MVP front runner. Then he tears his knee. And then Foles comes in and obviously goes on the crazy run and wins the Super Bowl and wins Super Bowl MVP. So, like, looking back on it, we knew that, like, that was a great moment for the Andy Reid tree and the system and, like, the hybrid West Coast spread thing that they're trying to run right now. But also, like, that team was just really damn good. Like, that team had the best offensive line in football, and a lot of quarterbacks would have been able to perform behind it because we saw two quarterbacks perform behind it. But it's hard for me when a quarterback displays that ceiling. I didn't look it up before the show. I should have. I think it was 33 touchdowns against 7 interceptions.
Oh yeah, it was
13 games.
But couldn't you? I think what we've learned, like, the very small drop off that it takes to then affect your mind and make you that much worse at the job. You got 41 passing plays, only one designed rollout. You got the extra number that we heard there. His quarterback rating and those other numbers are worse outside the pocket than in. He was a very athletic quarterback. So if you know inside your mind, Carson Wentz, that you can't do that anymore, that you're not that guy, you are trying to be a different guy, and it just doesn't take much added into your head to make you a bad quarterback in this league. He leads the league in interceptions and fumbles. So he's just, he's turning the ball over. He's not there, and he's not the same guy, and he probably knows it physically.
Yeah, well, he looked awful. I mean, he straight up gifted 9 points to the opponent on Sunday. Just the pick six and the safety were just 100% on the quarterback. It's just you're digging your team way too big of a hole. Let's say though they benched him and they went to Jalen Hurts and then they cut him or traded him for 10 cents on the dollar just to offload the contract. He's a guy I'd be interested in.
Of course.
I'll tell you that right now.
Confirmed, Danny, 33-7 2017, 21-7 2018, 27-7 2019, and 14-14 thus far in 20.
Yeah, 14 interceptions. He's been awful.
Then 112, 129, 101, 126, 148, 116, 152, 117, 103.
Love football, let me play.
Yeah. That's it. Tom Allen.
There's a lot of football to be played. Love football, let me play. There's a lot of football to be played. Love football, let me play.
Shane's got a hook. That's his hook. Him doing Indiana football coach Tom Allen. After that game yesterday.
Can I hear the full thing? Because I feel like I missed this yesterday.
Yeah, you want me to do it?
I want
to play it. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, well, no, I'll hear your version. I deleted it.
There's no way we're going to talk about Indiana college football ever again in life. So I got rid of it.
Okay.
From the system.
We'll get started in here. He'll find it real quick.
Yeah. Shane's bit is just fine. All right, so we got Kenny Albert.
I want you to listen to me carefully. Eyes on me. We ain't feeling sorry for ourselves. We didn't play our best football. You know it and I know it. But you didn't quit. You didn't quit. You fought them. You got character. You got something to you. There's a lot of football to be played. A lot of football to be played. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
We didn't come here to be close. And I'm ticked off by the result. But I'm proud of you guys. Because you fought. And you fought. And you fought.
Weirdest subset of human draft? College coaches? College football coaches?
I find it weird. I think we're done already.
His team is special.
My bad.
Keeps going.
Special things ahead of you. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
Special things ahead of you. That's the truth. So you stay together. I love this football team, man. You got no idea.
Oh, my God.
In the good and the bad.
Take it easy, champ. Why don't you stop talking for a while?
How much football is left?
A lot of football. There's a lot of football to be played.
All right. I like it. And so what's that dude's name? The Indiana coach?
Tom Allen.
Tim Allen.
Ted
Tim
Allen.
Allen. Tim Allen. Tim Allen.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So Tom Allen. So Shane Allen, the coach.
Dick
okay,
Allen.
Like Dick. Allen.
That's former White Sox first baseman Dick Allen. Hey, Dick Allen was in a column yesterday. See that? Paul Sullivan found Dick Allen. The baseball angel let me know about it mid-funk.
I'm sure it did. I'm sorry I missed that yesterday. That's football coaches, man. They
and
are
a lot of fun when we play.
And college football weird. Coaches at that. Yeah.
In he's particular.
Got, he's got an acronym. He's got the L-E-O. He got love each other. So they're all about Leo. And it's working, though, Danny. It can work. Indiana is a resurgent program.
We use the word OSCE.
It does give me.
It's not working.
Oh, yeah. It's not working. What do you mean it's not working?
The acronym isn't working.
You
the
don't
acronym
know that.
Is not working.
Sco, yeah, you're going to now speak to the culture of Indiana football. Is that what you're going to do right here?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It might be that they have better players and they've won a few games, or it look, could be because of the yelling and the acronym. It's look, one of the two.
There's a lot of football to be played.
You think that I'm the pretender when it comes to college football. Go ahead. Name me the two wide receivers, two of the star wide receivers on Indiana. Go ahead, Parkins.
Antoine Randall.
He hasn't been there a while. He's on the coaching staff for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, though. We learned that a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
Wop,
nice. No,
Wop Fillier. Wop Fillier. Because he loves Whoppers. So they call him Wop. And Freifogel. I think it's Ty Freifogel.
Is it Wop, W-O-P, or W-A-P?
Freifogel?
Yeah, man. Wop Fillier. And the other guy's last name is Freifogel. He's good. He's got Kawagi skills.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll have to watch Indiana football at 6:05.
Nope.
All I'm saying is don't speak on the culture of Indiana football just because you don't like football coaches. At least I watched a game or part of it. Anyway.
I got another coach I can make fun of. Okay. You want to make fun of a different football coach? This was the professional variety?
Yes.
Because this is how I would have led the show yesterday. So I'm not sure if you guys got to it. But this is how I would have led yesterday's show. We'll do it next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's just state the facts. I mean, I'm a highly successful NFL head coach.
Mike McCarthy presiding over one of the most disappointing and, to be fair, injured teams in the NFL. There's already been dysfunction in Dallas, and I'm enjoying it greatly, given that he lied to Jerry Jones in his interview and his opening press conference. And I watched every play to prepare for the interview. Oh, yeah, what'd you think of some of those plays? I just said that to get the job. Okay. It's an interesting approach that Mike McCarthy has taken since getting to Dallas. But Spiegs, they pulled off the upset of the week in the NFL. I'm sure many people who are still alive in survivor pools, many of them had the Minnesota Vikings coming off a 3-game winning streak over the NFC North, had them beating the Cowboys as a 7-point favorite. And Dallas won that game. It was a surprise victory. You were talking about the culture at Indiana football and acronyms. And Shane, how much football is left to be played?
Out of curiosity.
Right, thank you. Yeah, I was wondering.
There's a lot of football to be played.
And maybe there is, too, for Mike McCarthy in Dallas. But Tom Pelissero at the NFL Network kind of pulled back the curtain as to how Mike McCarthy was hyping up his team and getting them ready for the game against Minnesota.
If the Cowboys go on a run here, we might look back on this win over the Vikings as the sledgehammer game. Saturday night at the team hotel in a meeting in a ballroom, Mike McCarthy gets up at the front of the room and says, guys, I want to apologize. I don't think I did a good enough job emphasizing our objectives for the week, one of which was to hammer the ball out of Dalvin Cook's hands. At that point, McCarthy pulls out a sledgehammer, not a prop, a full sledgehammer that you can knock a wall down with, and someone rolls in a bunch of watermelons. Each one has a different objective written on it. McCarthy reads the objective, bam, smashes the watermelon. He goes down the row doing this. The players are roaring. McCarthy's pants are soaked. Finally gets to the watermelon with Dalvin Cook's picture on it. DeMarcus Lawrence jumps up and goes, I got to get that one. He hands over the sledgehammer to Lawrence. He smashes that watermelon.
What a motivator. What a schematic genius. What a great coach. Definitely worth $25 million guaranteed to coach America's team. Can't think of anything that could possibly go wrong with that guy being your football coach.
Did they win, Danny? Did they win? The proof is in the watermelons, my friend.
The will to watermelon, TWTW? Yeah, they won.
Yes.
They won after the watermelon.
You want to smash some fruit? Yeah!
See, you're too young for Gallagher. You're too young to know who Gallagher is. Yeah, but maybe you do. Do you know who Gallagher was?
Not really.
Yeah, come on, but you're a comedy guy. How dare you, Parkin?
I feel like I do know. So Tanny referenced it in a text.
Oh, no, isn't a bit. You really don't know who it is. So when Dave Chappelle did Black Gallagher, you had no frame of reference for that?
So that is what – when you said Black Gallagher, I went to Chappelle, and I obviously know that bit. And by the way, did you watch Chappelle's thing about Netflix today and Comedy Central?
I didn't watch it yet. I've got it here.
But so, yeah, I knew – when he said I have Black Gallagher, I was like, yeah, okay, the Chappelle bit. But no, I did not have a frame of reference as to what it was.
Gallagher was Carrot Top before Carrot Top in some ways.
Okay.
He was a prop comic. On the prop comic tree. He's right up there. He really is. And, you know, Carrot Top had to take all those steroids to get away from the Gallagher comparisons. No, I don't know why he took all the steroids, but he sure as hell did. But, yeah, Gallagher was a 70s sensation for a while, and a big part of the deal was him destroying fruit. Like, towards the end of every show, like, people in the first 8 rows or 10 rows would, like, pull the plastic that had been provided up from their feet. Let's cover ourselves in plastic so we don't get covered in the watermelon bits as Gallagher smashes.
Do you prefer Noel or Liam speaks?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, actually. There's also Gallagher's brother, Ron Gallagher, was trying to do his brother's act with the Sledge-O-Matic routine, and there was a bit of turmoil in the Gallagher family about who could use the bit. There was Gallagher brother beef there, just like Oasis. Yeah, his brother tried doing his act.
That's amazing. So the Gallagher brother was like, hey, you know, he's doing it. It's like a family thing, right? I should be able to trade on our name too. We did that. Maybe they came up with the idea together. And it was later exposed that Gallagher was a real jackass.
Speaking of Danny, my favorite thing we do is when we do things that Danny doesn't understand, and he just kind of has to sit there and stare at us. He doesn't know who Nolan Liam Gallagher are. He doesn't know any of the Gallaghers.
He put his finger in his mouth and just sits there waiting
for it
to be over.
Looking at his pores.
Let's bring it back around for Danny. By the way, the Netflix thing, I tried looking for the Black Gallagher clip on Netflix, and I think they pulled down Chappelle's show from Netflix.
Oh, they did? That's the whole thing. They did.
Morning, well, yeah. That's what the Chappelle sketch, he released like 20 minutes, like how he released 8:49 after George Floyd, or 8:46. He released just a thing calling on thanking Netflix and calling out HBO and Comedy Central for streaming Chappelle's show without him getting paid for or any credit for it. And because Netflix wants to be in a long-term relationship with Chappelle and they pay him $20 million per comedy special, they pulled Chappelle's show, even though they didn't have to. Like, Chappelle signed away his rights to Chappelle's show with Comedy Central when he walked away and he walked off the show. So HBO Max streams it. He doesn't get paid. Comedy Central, Viacom stream it, doesn't get paid. But Chappelle's pissed about it, and he asked Netflix to take it down. And as a favor to Dave Chappelle, they took it off their platform. It's a really powerful piece of 20 minutes, like talking about the industry and exploitation and things like that. It's very good.
Yeah,
but no, Shane, I'm cool with it, man. I figure if you guys are vibing on it, I can be a passenger. I'm just listening to the show.
We gotta find more things that we vibe on, then.
That's fine. That's fine. Less work for me.
I think if any of them involve music of any kind in any realm,
space.
That's a big space, Shane, where we can all hang out. And Tanny, noted hip hop connoisseur and DJ Supreme, Chris Tannehill. So yeah, we could all just hang out there for a while.
Yeah, remember that bit that we did? Danny Doesn't Know. If you're like, that's so mean by Spiegel. I'm like, I helped come up with the bit. Like, I'm fine with it. It's not a problem.
I forgot Danny Doesn't Know. I forgot that. Danny Doesn't Know. Danny Doesn't Know. Oh. And how did we do the bit? It was like, let's find out just how little you knew about a certain
You would like
musical
start
subject.
At a 6 out of 10 music question or something like that. And then instead of getting harder and harder as the game went on, it got easier and easier.
Are we going to bring that back? Right?
Until I'm
eventually I could identify who you were talking about.
Yeah, until I'm like, eventually asking you to...
B-E-A-T-L-E, say the band. Beatles.
Right, exactly.
And that's...
Yoko blank, you know?
Right, exactly.
Get somewhere like that eventually.
That was kind of how it went.
I was ready to sing. I was ready to sing and to have you sing if we get a Mitch Trubisky announcement. But we're not really... it's going to happen tomorrow. We'll find out. Are we just going to find out when Nick Foles greets the media at 10:30 on a Zoom? That's when it's happening.
No.
Right? Because he's scheduled to talk before Matt Nagy is. So as Foles, and right now, as far as the media knows, Nick Foles is just talking at 10:30. So question one, hey, Nick, are you starting at quarterback this week? Like, that might be your answer.
I'll give you my bet. We'll talk to Hub at 4:20 or so. I'll give you my bet coming up next as to how this plays out, and then Kenny Albert at 4 on the score.
With both of these guys, with where they're at and their injuries, that's what we're kind of working through right now to see exactly where they're at. So the good thing for us coming off the bye is it happened over the bye for Nick, and now we're able to kind of day by day just see where he's at. We're going through and just trying to figure out, okay, health-wise, where they're at, and then also us too, like coming through the bye, like I said, us evaluating where we're at as a team, as an offense, all of that is on the table. So we've had the ability to get away for a little bit, us as coaches, and do what we need to do individually away from the building, or some of us at the building. But for the most part, you know, we're just going to kind of get till Wednesday and just see exactly where both these guys are at in the quarterback position wise.
That's Matt Nagy. This is the Danny Parkin Show with Matt Spiegel in. We'll talk to Kenny Albert, who's calling Steelers and Ravens, hopefully, on Westwood One Thanksgiving night. Interesting guy. We'll talk to him about that and more at 4 o'clock. Then Hub Arkush, where I'm sure we'll talk some about who's going to start for the Bears at quarterback, Spiegs. But I got to be honest with you. Like, I know a lot of shows and column inches are being dedicated to this. Like, I'm not particularly interested. Like, they're both bad. The offense is broken. The season is virtually over, even though they're in the hunt graphic. Like, we know Mitch isn't the answer for the future. We've seen that. We know Foles stinks. We've seen that. Like, my guess is Matt Nagy's going to do as much as he can to take this as close to a game time as possible, and I don't think it matters all that much for this team this year. Personally,
Whoa, I am very surprised at that. The season is virtually over. If they were to go back to Mitch, or even if it's Foles, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they squeak out a few more wins here in some fashion, and then get to the playoffs and have a game, and Matt Nagy can prove something. Don't you think Matt Nagy has to prove that he can adjust and make something happen offensively for his own job security, for his own credibility? I mean, they're the second worst offense in all of football with his hand-picked trade acquisition quarterback the last, what, six games?
Yeah, I mean, I never attack, like, obviously Foles is his guy, but they traded a fourth-round pick for a dude on the wrong side of 30. Like, I don't feel like Matt Nagy has staked his claim long-term. Like, Nick Foles is my guy. Like, Nick Foles was his bridge quarterback as a backup this year for Mitch. So, like, they can make the playoffs. They probably would lose in the first round. I think we just know that the quarterback of next year's Bears team isn't on the roster right now. So they only have bad quarterbacks. So it doesn't it doesn't motivate me or move me or interest me in a way that most, like, oh man, who's the quarterback going to be? Like, that's obviously a huge thing for a football team. These are just death by drowning or death by fire. They both suck.
Well, I understand. I agree with that, that both options suck. And the fact that there's so many of us open to the idea of Mitch, after all that we have seen, the fact that people are even open to the idea tells you just how bad it has been. I would argue that Foles is stapled to Nagy. To me, he absolutely is. I mean, those guys are super tight, and it's exactly the kind of guy he wanted to bring in, and the guy that he wanted to bring in, and at least know the system. And so I would argue that. But aside from that, in terms of how it's going to play out, I think he's hoping, like, with every fiber of his being, that Nick Foles is healthy enough to play. And I think they're at least waiting until tomorrow morning, just before Nick Foles goes and talks to the media. Nick, you feel okay? Are we still trending upward? We're still okay? All right, good. Yeah, go and tell them it's your job. See, I don't think Matt wants to address the media going back to Mitch Trubisky. I don't think he wants to have to freaking deal with that after.
But you don't think
so
the injury
clear.
Is a cover for it?
Yeah.
My guy got hurt. He got hurt. So I went back to the backup. That's football. Next man up. Hmm. Like, I don't think it's that tough of a – I think it actually is easier to go back to Mitch now under the guise of Foles got hurt, as opposed to saying I benched Nick Foles to go back to Mitch Trubisky, who I originally benched.
I just mean in terms of this week, he would love for that answer to come very quickly and matter-of-factly from Nick Foles, and then he can just show up there a couple hours later and say, yep, Nick is healthy, so we're going with him. And that's just that. He's the guy.
Yeah, if I had to bet right now, I'd bet on it being Mitch. I mean, Danny, pick up the money on the ground if you're right. No harm done if you're wrong.
Uh-huh.
You think it's Foles?
I think it's Foles. Now tell me this. How irrational is it? How crazy is it to genuinely desire Tyler Bray or Kyle Sloter? Like, option three. How crazy, how irrational is it with everything you just said about how they both suck and it's dispiriting and all that? And we could look around. We could do this after Hub if you want. But Jake Luton, Brett Rippon, these guys started quarterback games in the NFL this year. Philip Walker led the XFL in passing, and he just played for Carolina the other day. Ben DiNucci from
good.
James. Philip Walker looked good. Once Philip Walker from the XFL looks good, how irrational is it then to call for Tyler Bray or Kyle Sloter when we've watched the level of quarterback play that we've seen the last 10 games? I don't think it's that irrational.
Be sure you ask Hub when he joins us around 4:20, and then we'll talk about it more at length after that. Because Kyle Sloter's background does not suggest NFL stardom, but I'm happy to discuss it with you.
Four different teams, he hasn't taken a snap. Not one snap, but he's been a part of four different teams. Sign him up, baby!
He's been a part of four...
Throw him out there. How much worse could it be? How much worse could it actually be?
He's been a part of four different practice squads. Kenny Albert, he might be replacing Doc Emrick. We'll get some Doc stories, and he is calling Steelers and Ravens on Thanksgiving night, we think, for Westwood One. Kenny Albert, next on The Score.